Let's return, if you will, to Psalm 95, and we'll just quickly finish the message that we began this morning. Psalm 95, and we'll read verse number 2. Verse number 2, he said, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving." Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Now we talked this morning how that this was a psalm that was used at the rededication and institution of the temple upon the return of Zerubbabel and Ezra to Jerusalem, and they were in the process of bringing the people of God back together in the worship of God. And so they used this psalm that was probably originally a psalm of David, we say similar words in his, to encourage the people that they had a lot to be thankful for. God had watched over them 70 years in a foreign land. God had gave them the land back exactly when He said He would, based upon His timetable that He gave to the prophet Jeremiah. He brought them back. They received the land and the city of Jerusalem back from the heathen. They were able to rebuild their temple, and He said, "Listen, we need to come in the gates of this temple with thanksgiving in our hearts for what God's done for us, and with a song in our heart of praise for Him." And we were talking about the look of thanksgiving. We talked this morning about how we should be thankful when we have an upward look, amen. When we remember God's power as manifest in His creation described in this psalm. When we remember God's plan and God's purpose that He has not only for our lives, but for the plan and purpose that He had in His own dear Son, the Lord Jesus, when He sent Him to die for us, that we might be saved. And when we have that upward look and we think about the presence of God, not only being on the throne in heaven, but also being with us in the person of the sweet Holy Spirit. You don't have to shout to talk to God, but that's all right, amen. He doesn't have a problem hearing. He's nearby. You just talk to Him however you feel the need to talk to Him, amen. And I assure you He hears you because He's near. There are not any long-distance charges, amen. There's no penalties or taxes. You just talk to Him because He's available. Thank God that His presence is with us. And for that promise, Jesus said, "Where two or more were gathered in My name, there I'd be in the midst of them." Now that has to do with His presence collectively, amen. And that's special to God when the people of God get together. In the last book of the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, the Bible talks about those that knew the Lord got together and talked about the Lord often, amen. And the Bible says God made a note of it and wrote it in the book, amen. Listen, God's presence is real, amen. We need to make it real to us. It'll help just keep us going. But we not only need to think about thanksgiving in an upward look, but we need to think about our thanksgiving and what it ought to be whenever we have an outward look, amen. Now, heaven's real, and I look forward to going to heaven, amen. For many reasons and a lot of reasons that I don't even know about, amen. I just know it's the best place to go. It's the best place there is, and that's enough, amen. A lot of people come from Mississippi, they think it's the best state in the Union, amen. Some people come from other states, they think it's the best. I have my favorites, this, that, and other. I won't tell you. You'll never find a place better than heaven, amen. I'll tell you, it's the best place that the Bible describes, isn't that right? But sad to say, it's going to be a while before we go there. Well, that may not be so sad. You may not be ready right now, amen. You may want to stay here a while. God may have a little more purpose for you. But neighbor, while we're here, we look out upon us. Things that are happening in the world, sometimes it's easy to get discouraged, and if you're not careful, amen, you'll even be fooled into thinking that maybe God ain't in control of this thing, amen. And so a lot of people become defeated and distracted because when they look out, they don't see God, and they don't see what they ought to see, amen. And today, sad to say, when people look out, many Christian people, rather than focusing upon all that they have and all that God's done, amen, they focus on what they'd like to have, amen. The appetite of the human being is never satisfied. When he gets one thing, he wants something else. That's human nature, and that's just the way that he is. But listen, when we look around us with that outward look, we ought to be thankful, amen. Number one, we ought to be thankful as we look at His supply, amen. all that God has given us. Look in verse number 7 of Psalm 95. For our God, He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Now, ain't that good to know that He is our God? But not only did He say that He's our God, but that we are the people of His pasture. They're using the illustration that the Bible often does of God as being a shepherd over a flock of sheep. Amen. Now, if you know anything about sheep, you know that they know very little. Amen. They're pretty dumb critters. They need a shepherd to watch over them. They're defenseless. Amen. Listen, that's the way that God treats His people. And the Bible tells us that we are the sheep of His pasture and of His fold. That being true, then God is obligated Himself to take care of us. Amen. I tell you, I've got a child. You mean if you've got children, you obligated yourself when they came into this world, or at least you should have, to take care of them. Now, God's the same way. Now, I want to tell you something. The New Testament teaches, neighbor, that there's no reason why we should not have what we need, amen, in this world. God's promised it to us. If we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, those things will be added unto us. But as you read the epistles of Paul and of Peter, they add to it, amen. They say that He is able to give unto us everything that exceeds, amen, what we're able to ask or think. He said that uses that word abundantly and exceedingly, amen, above what we're able to ask or think. God is able to supply all your need, Paul wrote, writing the church of Philippi, said, through His riches in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your heart. Listen, I want to tell you something. You may not be rich compared to many people of this world, but the problem or this nation that we have is our comparisons are not always what they ought to be. People are bad about that. You talk to somebody about church, you talk to somebody about being saved, you tell them that they need to be saved, and they'll always tell you usually, I'm good, I'm a pretty good person, I'm just as good as so-and-so and such-and-such. And I just simply say, your problem is your comparison. You're right. You may be as good as so-and-so. And you may be good as this one over here. But the problem is you're not good enough to go to heaven. Amen. There's no man that's born into this world, woman, boy, or girl, that's good enough to go to heaven, that's righteous enough. If that were so, then Jesus Christ would not have to have given His life on Calvary's tree. Amen. But He did. And so the Bible tells us there's none righteous, no, not one, that they're all unclean. And that's you and I. Amen. And so God gave His Son to die for us that we might be saved. Amen. And along with Him, give us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Amen. Now I want to tell you something. When you compare yourself rather than the fellow that lives next door, or somebody that you work with, you might find that you have it pretty well off. I tell you what, we could go over to Thailand where Brother Tommy is, and go look under the bridges over there. Find an old leper that's made his home under the bridge because he's been rejected by his people, by his family, by his own nation even, amen. You know what we would do when we compared ourselves to him? We'd say, I've got it pretty good, wouldn't we, amen? We'd say, I've got it pretty good. We could go down to Mexico, amen. And we could look at the people down there, the people that have gone through the storm of Mitch in Central America there, and see the things that those people are suffering. Why, they were poor before the storm ever came, and they lived in such weak and feeble homes and of means that whenever the rains came, it killed over 10,000. I mean, that's a tragedy. Listen, when you compare yourself to that individual neighbor, you've got it pretty good. Amen. When you compare yourself to many of the people around this world, even the people in Russia who have been a part of a supposedly civilized and progressive society for decades, who have to grow gardens, amen, and make every effort that they can to grow their own food because there just is no market over there and availability. In a land where Brother Cottrell said, if you cut yourself, it'll be infected before dark. the place is so full of contamination and germs. Listen, folks, when you compare yourself to anybody else around this world as an American, or more especially as a Christian, you were of all people most blessed. You want me to tell you why? God has supplied us with more than we could possibly ever need. Amen. Now, I want to tell you, I know this. We're fixing to go Christmas shopping here before long over the next few weeks. And we're just going to see all kind of things that we think our children need and that we think we need. Amen. And that's natural. Amen. There's not anything wrong with supplying or buying things for others, and we get a joy out of it. But the point is this, neighbor. Listen, we need to recognize the supply of God and all that He's given us, amen, of material things. What a blessing it is, neighbor, to lay down at night with a full belly full of groceries, amen. What a blessing it is, we found out during the hurricane, to go to a wall and flip a switch and have a light come on just like that, amen. What a blessing it is to go over to the window or to the wall and just turn a knob and have an air conditioner come on and blow nice cool air over you. Listen, my friend, if anybody ought to be thankful today, it ought to be this United States of America. But Lord help us, I believe we're probably, of all the people of the world, the most unthankful. Listen, I want to tell you something. If you don't believe it, you try it. You get the addresses of those missionaries out there, and you write them, and you write their people. Now, I guarantee you, neighbor, they'll be a blessing to them. I remember that time that the lepers wrote us and said, listen, here's what we want you to do for us for Christmas. Send us your prayer request. We just appreciate what you've done for us so much. We can't do much for you, but we can pray for you. Will you send us our prayer requests? Y'all may remember those. We wrote them out, and we mailed them to them. Listen, I want to tell you something. God has so blessed us. Now, anybody can look at themselves or look at their lives and find some place to gripe or to moan and complain and groan. But listen, when it boils down to it, amen, when you make comparison with comparison, we have to say, boy, God has been so good to us. We sat down out there Wednesday night. Man, we just ate some of the best of stuff that anybody in this world would ever want to sit down to. Thanksgiving is coming Thursday. Many of you are going to sit down to a meal that would be fit for a king. Amen. I tell you, it would just make folks amazed in other parts of the world if they could sit down at a table and just eat what we're going to partake of Thanksgiving. Matter of fact, all the way through Christmas. Isn't that right? Listen, folks. Listen. We can't take that for granted. It's because God has so blessed us. This world thinks it's because of our own ingenuity, because of our technology, because of our political system, because of our stock market, Wall Street, our economy. Neighbor, I want to tell you something. It's because God has allowed it to be so and has blessed us, amen, for the gospel light. Never let us forget, as we look out here around this world, amen, don't just look at the county line or the state line or the national line. You look over there, amen. Look at the pictures on the bulletin board. Read the letters on the bulletin board and realize something, my friend. You ought to be thankful when you look out here and see God's wonderful supply. Read a little illustration one time about a woman that had a little maid, a little black maid. While she was working there in the house, the lady was fixing dinner, and she fixed her something to eat and gave it to her. And she sat down at it and she said, "Now, Lord, thank you for these victuals." And the lady said, "What's victuals?" She said, "Well, that's all this food here that I'm about to eat of. I'm just thanking God for them." She said, "Well, you know, you get your victuals whether you thank God for them or not. I give them to you." And she said, "Yeah, I know, but," she said, "it just makes it taste better." So, you know, sometimes it just might help things taste better if we thank God for His supply. Amen. We were talking before church about those pumpkin pies and things that Mr. Greenwood made. We got that straight. He made those pies. And how that Miss Ann ate my piece that was carried home. And I told them, I said, "I'll tell you what happened. You open that refrigerator, I can't find anything. It's so full, I guarantee you we could eat for 4 months out of that thing." I bought some ice cream for work the other day to carry to the fire station to open the freezer, and I had to jam and move and push to get it in there. I believe that we could eat for months out of that thing. Boy, God's supply is great, ain't it? I want to tell you something. I thank God for it. Thank you, God, tonight for everything you've given me. You just blessed me. So good. But as I have that outward look and I look around, I thank God for His scenery. You know I'd rather live here than on Mars or Venus. You seen the pictures of them places? Man, they just desolate. Isn't it amazing? Then in the Big Bang of evolution, you can't find another planet anywhere that's worth moving to. They're all desolate. Why is it that one little planet, whether described as blue or green, out of all the solar system, and as far as we can see beyond with our electron telescopes, one is inhabited, one is beautiful, one has life. Isn't that amazing? You want me to tell you why? Because God created this earth to be inhabited. Yes, He did, amen. And listen, when you look out here at this world, you know what is hard to remember and keep in your mind? The fact that this world and all that you see is under the curse of God. How could it be so beautiful and be under the curse of God? There were a lot of changes whenever Adam sinned and God put him outside that garden. He said, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake." And He said, "Thorns and thistles it'll bear to you, because you're going to earn the sweat of your living by the sweat of your brow." Amen. Listen, how beautiful it is, isn't it? What's it going to be like when the Lord removes that curse and comes back? Boy, I thank God for His scenery. I'll never forget, and I'm not trying to be critical. When I was 10 years old, we moved to Oklahoma. Dad was in the military, the Air Force, and we were sent to Midwest City, Oklahoma, Tinker Air Force Base. I'd never been out of Mississippi hardly in my life. I may not have been. I don't know. Here we are. I thought that was the greatest thing in the world. We took out through Mississippi, and it was pretty, just like it is here. We got up in Arkansas. Man, it was pretty. I was enjoying it. I didn't think it'd ever end, but I was enjoying it. I was only 10 years old. We got into the southeastern tip of Oklahoma, and it was pretty and beautiful. We got a little further into Oklahoma, and it began to thin out for some reason. And I saw this billboard up ahead, and it said, "You're now approaching the Red River," I believe it was. I said, "Whoa, the Red River. Man," of course, I was used to the rivers here in Mississippi and all. We got there and crossed that thing. Of course, I'd heard the Red River Valley and all the things about the Red River and the Western movies and all. And it wasn't nothing but a bridge. It was a big ditch with no water. I said, "That ain't a river. That's not a river." And I want to tell you, after spending 2 years in Oklahoma, I was ready to get back to Mississippi. Sandstone, tarantulas, rattlesnakes, scorpions, no trees, no water hole where you could go swimming. I mean, it just, to me as a child, was the awfulest place. And I know people in Oklahoma love it. They came up in it. I'm not being critical of it. You see, to them, it has its own beauty. It does. Amen. You go out west to some of those places, they have their own unique beauty. But I like Mississippi. That's what I was used to. Amen. I thank God for the beautiful scenery. What a joy it is to wake up to a blue sky. What a joy it is to look up at the stars of heaven. Amen. You've got to see God in all that. The Bible says, neighbor, that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament His handiwork. When you look up there, neighbor, at all of those stars, you're seeing the firmament of heaven that God made. God put everyone just in the right place where it ought to be. Boy, we're worried today about something running into us and knocking us off course and blowing us up and drowning us and all kind of awful things. Listen, ain't nothing going to happen until God gets ready for it too. Amen. Now, there's a day coming when God's going to be ready, according to the book of Revelation. But neighbor, listen. God's just blessed us with the best place to live in this solar system. Don't you agree? Praise God. When I look out there, I say, "Thank you, Lord, for all the beauty. All the beauty." Now, you might take that for granted till you go somewhere like Thule, Greenland, probably. I don't understand why them folks down there in Antarctica, I declare, I don't like the cold at all. But you know, that ice is kind of beautiful for a while. When we were sent to England for 3 years, we got over there. I said, "My Lord, This is the awfulest looking thing I've ever seen. Drab, cloudy, dreary. It just didn't look good. But you know, when summertime came, it had a beauty of its own. And I never knew that in such a climate you could grow such beautiful, tasty apples and plums as you could in a place called England. See, it had a beauty of its own, and those people over there love it just like we love it here. Well, I thank God when I look around. I can see God's handiwork, amen. I can see God's handprint, His fingerprint in everything, but boy, folks today, they don't see God in these things. They're not thankful, I tell you, for all the good things that God's given us. Boy, you look out there on that ocean. You look out there on that beautiful Gulf of Mexico, amen. I know a lot of people who left here years ago that say, boy, will you take it for granted? The beauty that you see right here on what is called the Golden Gulf Coast. Now, we're trying our best to ruin it. People abuse it and all that. I know that. But neighbor, ain't God's scenery just beautiful? I thank God for it. Verse number 8 of Psalm 95. He said, harden not your hearts. Verse number 4. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. And what did He say after He did that? He backed up and He saw that it was very good. Amen. Now listen, God made it with His hands. The Bible says that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You know what the name Adam means? Red earth. Red earth. That's what God formed him out of, outside that garden. Now, God didn't form him of the dirt that was inside the garden. He formed him of that outside. For after He made him, the Bible says that God planted a garden and God put him in it. Amen. God placed him in that garden. Listen, man ain't nothing but red dirt. But you know what makes man special? It was formed with God's hand. Has God's own life dwelling within him. Listen. God formed this earth, amen, step by step in the book of Genesis, amen. And it's no accident of evolution that everything is as beautiful as it is, that everything functions perfectly and naturally of its own, amen. It's an ecosystem that God Himself set up millennium ago, amen. And it still works good. Man is doing his best to destroy it and to mess it up, amen. But I want to tell you, it reflects God's goodness and God's glory. Listen. God gave us a good place to live. God placed Adam in the best place that he had. It was the garden that he planted that he called Eden in paradise. Amen. Listen, I want you to tell you something. This place is special to God, and this book teaches this. Amen. God's got a work here, and God put us here for a work. And ain't it a beautiful place to live? When I look out, I'm thankful with the outward look when I see sinners. There in the verses that I were about to read, in verses 8 through 11, he reminds them of the time that God's people rebelled against him, and God caused them all to die and perish in the wilderness for 40 years. He reminded about those sinners that God had to destroy through the plague. Some the earth opened and swallowed because of their rebellion against God. Listen, when I look out here with an outward look, and I see the sinners of this world, then I have to be thankful, amen. Why thankful? Not thankful that there's so much sin. Not thankful that there are so many sinners and that so many folks are going to hell if they don't find the Lord and if they don't get right. But neighbor, I'm thankful that I know where I'm going, amen. The Bible says the way of the sinner, the wicked, is hard, amen. The transgressor is hard. But listen, praise God. God's delivered us from the wrath to come. He's not appointed us to the wrath, but He has delivered it from us, amen. I want to understand something. We have to live in a sinful world in this life. We have to put up with the wickedness of this world and with the wicked people and their abuse in this world. But I want to tell you, I thank God, neighbor, that this is not all there is to life. Then, neighbor, there's a day coming when the Bible tells us there will be no more sin reigning upon this earth. There will be a time whenever the Lord Jesus Himself will rule and reign in righteousness from His throne in Jerusalem. Amen. And all those things will be but a bitter memory. Praise God. Listen, I thank God when I look out here at this world that God saved me. Amen. And I've been appointed one day to be joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it burdens my heart, amen, because we live in a nation, though founded upon the principles of Scripture and upon the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation, we are turning our back upon Him more and more every day, amen. I want to tell you, the time's coming, if things don't change, when it'll be dangerous for you to be a Christian. God help us to help our nation see the right way, amen, and be thankful to God for what He's done. To turn, as the Bible says, from our wicked ways, our sin, amen, and humble ourselves before Him. When I look out, amen, on this world, I thank God for His salvation, for that He saved me. It's a wonder to me, and it's amazing to me how I ever came to God, because I never was looking for Him. Bless His holy name. The Bible refers to those that are saved as the elect. It refers to them as the chosen, amen. Not that anything was seen in them that they should be chosen or preferred over anybody else, amen. But my friend, the Bible makes it plain that there are individuals in this world that God came out and He sought them out and He called them, and as a result of His call, they got saved, amen. Now God's calling the whole world through the gospel, but there are only going to be some, amen, that respond to it. God help us, amen, to be thankful that God saved us and to help see that others can find the way to salvation and service of the Lord. When I look out upon this world, you know what I say? I ain't got it so bad. I hadn't got it so bad. There's more people that got more money than me, but they're not saved. There are people drive a finer car than me, but they're not saved. There's people that have better clothes than me, but they're not saved. There's people that eat finer meals than me somewhere, but they're not saved. Boy, I'm so thankful when I look out here for what God's done for me in saving me. Amen. Bless His holy name for what He's done. But then there's another look that we need to consider, and that's the inward look. When we look inside in that inward look, then neighbor, it ought to cause us to be thankful. When I look at my heart, then it causes me to be thankful. Why? You know what the Bible says about your heart and about my heart in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9? It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know what makes man wicked? His heart. He has a wicked heart. You know what makes man evil? It's his heart, amen. It's not his environment, though that can be some influence upon him, cause him to want to be a part of something. But neighbor, the root cause of man's problem is in his heart. When I look in my heart, amen, and I realize that the sweet Holy Spirit of God has taken up residence in my heart, and I look and I realize that, neighbor, I am not what I would have been had God not saved me. Listen, it makes me thankful. Praise God. Lord, have mercy. I got saved when I was 23 years old. So now I've spent more than half my life as a Christian. Amen. Listen, came here from Warner Robins, Georgia, back to Mississippi, looking for a place to fit in with playing music and doing this and that and hunting jobs and being part of things, just looking in this life somewhere to fit in, amen. Flirting with alcohol and drugs that I had no business fooling with, on the borderline of placing my life in extreme danger. And right in the midst of that, neighbor, God saved me. And I'm convinced tonight that if God had not saved me at 23 years of age when He did, then neighbor, I either wouldn't be here or you'd be looking at a sorry sight. I'd either be an alcoholic or I'd be hooked on some drug or narcotic that I'd not be able to free myself, amen, of. And I want to tell you, it's no boasting on my part. I didn't change myself. I didn't make myself any better. And I didn't make a decision one day, neighbor, that I was going to do the right thing. I want to tell you what happened to me. One day God saved me, amen. And He changed my heart. As the book of Hebrews says, He would write His laws upon the fleshly tables of our heart, amen. God does heart surgery on somebody when he gets saved, amen. I want you to understand that you don't have to beg people when they get saved to serve God or to live for Him, amen. God puts that in their heart, amen. And I know some of us have different desires, designs, and abilities than others, but listen, when God moves His residence into a person's heart, it makes a difference in his life. Praise God, if He hadn't have done it for me, God help me, where would I be, amen? Lord have mercy. When I think about that, when I look in, I'm not pleased with everything that I see. And I'm a long way from perfect. And all you got to do is talk to my wife and son to know that. But I want to tell you something. I know one thing above all things. I'm not what I would have been if God hadn't saved me. Man, if God hadn't saved me, bless His holy name. We need to look inside, amen. Take inventory of the work that God has done in our heart. Ain't He good? Ain't He good? Then when I take that inward look and that inventory of my life, I thank God for my health. I thank God for my health. Now, I mean, I look so good. And I get picked at a lot at work because I'm one of the older men there at the fire department now, and most of them are young. But I hold my own pretty good. But when it boils down to it, I've been of decent health. I feel good. I feel good. I've done good here in the last few years. And I just thank God for it. Amen. Brother Johnny could tell you about problems with health when he had the heart problems and things and had to have the surgery. How you can overlook what good health really means to you. And you've heard people say time and time before, neighbor, well, at least you have your health, amen. That's what's important. If a man has enough to make it day to day and he has his health, don't we take that for granted? You know what? You know when I appreciate my eyes the most? When I get something in one. I hate to get something in my eye worse than anything in the world. And when you can't get it out, and that's when I say, man, all these weeks, days, and months, I hadn't had anything in my eye. It sure was good. This is killing me. And I mean, my eye just turned red after I get something. Now, listen, you know when you appreciate something? When it breaks down. You know when you appreciated that light switch on the wall and that air conditioner knob when that thing wouldn't work when you turned it? Amen. That's when you appreciate it. Until then, you take it for granted. And you know that's the way that we are about our health. Neighbor, if you feel good, praise God. If you feel bad, pray to God, amen, that He'll help you feel good again. I just thank God for my health. I live in a sinful body that is condemned to the dust of this earth in death, amen. And I want to tell you something. It works pretty good, amen. It works pretty good, and I thank Him for that. It makes it easier to enjoy life, doesn't it, amen? It makes it easier to enjoy life. Now, I want to tell you what happened. I suffer from depression. Seems like all our folks do. And Ann will tell you, there were times when I would just seem like a cloud come over me and I would be depressed because things wasn't going right. The church seemed like it wasn't going right and things just didn't go like I'd like them to. And I'd get down and wonder, because I always blame myself for everything. I'm not blaming the church or nobody else. I always blame myself, and that caused me to get depressed. And so, I'd go to the hospital, and Miss Gidget was in there. And Ann will tell you this. I'd go down there, because I need to go see her and check on her, and I'd go down there and see her. Before I left that place, I'd have a skip in my step. She would make me, I'd go down there to try to comfort her and to cheer her. You know what? The exact opposite happened. She would cheer me up. When I would leave that place, I'd be feeling so much better. Listen, here was a little girl that had half of her brain blowed out of her head with a .38 caliber pistol. Had innumerable surgeries and all kind of agonizing therapies. And she's laughing and jolly and cheering me up. Amen. Listen. She knew how to appreciate the health that she had. She knows how to appreciate it now. But you and I who have it, take it for granted. You see what we all need to do, and all these young people, Donovan, Ryan, all of them, you'd go to the hospital with me sometime and see some people down there that you have to go visit. They need to come ride the fire truck with me sometime. ride an ambulance and see people that we have to go pick up, I want to tell you, it'd make a difference, and it'd make him appreciate. It'd make him appreciate. I thank God for my health. I thank God that He saved me before I did things to my body that were going to make me suffer later in life. Now, we know that they all break down due to age and problems, but I tell you, we live a lot longer than anybody else on the face of this earth. Americans do, amen. We have a long lifespan, don't we, because of all the good things that God's allowed us to have. I just thank God when I look inward and I see that I've got a healthy body. Praise God. But not only that, I thank God when I look inward and I see my home. Amen. I thank God for my home. Thank the Lord for, and I'm not talking about the house. The house is something that you put a home in. Amen. I thank Him for my wife, for my son. And I do thank Him for the house. Please don't misunderstand me. I appreciate God giving me a place to live that I could own. But neighbor, I thank God for my home. God hadn't saved me. You know, I wouldn't have had that. Had I never left here and went down to Florida to school, I never would have met Miss Ann. I never would have been a pastor. I never would have met her. She never would have been my wife. I never would have met her family. Amen. God gave me my home. Had I never met her, then obviously, of course, I never would have had Donovan, would I? And so God has blessed me just tremendously, and I thank God for my home. When you see the news stories of all those poor people standing on the edge of the flood down there in Central America and watching the sticks and the straw and leaves and stuff wash by that was their home, standing there with hardly anything even on their back, weeping. Neighbor, I want to tell you, thank God for my home, for my family, for my people. I thank God for my church home. I thank God for the air, for the fans we have turning, for all the good things God's given us. Listen, we take those for granted, don't we? But you know we should not. That's right. We put a lot of... I spent a lot of my life building that building out here and this building here. I put a lot of my years of my life in neglecting my family, my own home, working on these two buildings here, and I'm not complaining about it whatsoever. I don't have anything to boast about. That's the point. God gave us what we have, amen, as a place to worship. And it doesn't matter if you never drove the first nail, amen. It doesn't matter if you don't have time to clean or do anything to this. Praise God, it's here for us. It's good. Ain't it good to come here? Amen. You know what I was thinking this morning as I prepared the message? And I didn't say it. I started to, Miss Ann, but I tell her too much already. I said, you know, people just don't know how to appreciate just being able to go to the house of God and sit down and worship. Me, I got to worry about what I'm going to preach and how I'm going to do it and this and that and every other. And it's always a pain because I always think that I'm going to blow something, you see, and fall short. Ain't it good just come to God's house, not have to worry about nothing, sit down, be comfortable, enjoy the presence of your family, of your friends, and the comfort of God's people, amen. It's good, ain't it? I thank God for my family, for my home, and I thank God for my church home. When we fail to appreciate them, we lose that thankfulness, amen, then neighbor, we'll regret it, won't we? When they're gone, we'll say, my, wasn't it good? I know that many of you have memories of good times in the past, things that you'd miss, that you'd like to visit again. Maybe that's the way it is now. We better enjoy today, amen. He said here today, don't harden your heart, amen. But listen, be soft and tender toward God. And the best way to be soft and tender toward God is to have a thankful heart, amen. God just can't stand it. God loves me. Ran across a poem I want to read you tonight before I close. The name of it is simply this, God forgive me when I whine. God forgive me when I whine. He said, today upon a bus I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so gay, and how I wished I were so fair. Obviously it was a woman. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had only one foot and wore a crutch, but as she passed, she had a smile. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet. The world is mine. And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, it's nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find. He turned and said, oh, thank you, sir. And then I saw that he was blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes. The world is mine. Then when walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment and then I said, why don't you join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he could not hear. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears. The world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I am blessed in Thee. The world is mine, O Lord, forgive me, when I whine. You know when we whine? When we're just not thankful. That's it. We've got so much to be thankful for. What can we complain about to God? He's done so much for us. Listen, what a shame, what a sin it is for us to whine, for us to worry, when God has blessed us so. Neighbor, listen. The Bible said, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Amen. The Bible said in another psalm, enter His courts with praise. It said here, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It talked about singing Him a song. And a psalm. Neighbor, that's why we're here. You know what? When we recognize how good God is and we're thankful for that, it ain't hard for us to sing. It ain't hard for us to praise. It ain't hard for us to preach. Amen. He did so much for us. Are you thankful tonight? Amen. Well, tell somebody about it. Amen. Our Father, thank You tonight for Your Word. We realize, God, tonight that yes, we as God's people sometime do whine. We complain. Sometime we even bicker one with another. And God, it's just a sign that we've taken our eyes off of You. We've lost that upward look. We've lost the outward look that we should have. And we need to take an inward look again. And see, our Father, how richly You really have blessed us. With superabundance of all things material, with health and wealth, but most of all You've blessed us with the abundance of freedom to worship and enjoy the good things of the Spirit of God. Thank You, our Father, for making us a part of the body of Christ, of the bride of Christ. I ask You, our Father, now to use us, God, to return unto You the glory that You do through our thanksgiving. And our Father, through the praise of our lips, that our Father, the Spirit of God, might be loosed within our hearts again to manifest and conform the Lord Jesus Christ's image in these bodies, that others might see Him living in us. Know above all things that Christian people are not complainers, they're not gripers, they're not worriers, they're not whiners, but they're people who are really thankful for what their God has done for them. Bless this church and use it mightily, I pray, our Father, to shed the glorious light of the gospel till Jesus comes. For we ask it in His name for His sake. Amen and amen.